Welcome to the Managing the Smart Mind podcast with your host, Coach Kramer. This is episode 48, Troubleshooting Visualization. Welcome back, smart human. Did you give the visualization exercise I talked about in the last episode a try? And if you haven't even listened to that episode yet, please do that first. It's like requirement for this episode. If you have, but you find it difficult or you aren't sure you're doing it right, then this episode is for you. Because we're diving into things like internalized depression, social, cultural pressure, and other programming that may actually be blocking you from doing your visualization and achieving your goal. And we're going to talk about how to bridge that gap. Because as I actually mentioned in the last episode, visualization isn't just an amazing tool to get better at things, achieve your goals, right, in a very easy way, using this creative, imaginative capacity of your brain. It also shows you where the gaps are in the way you think about yourself in relation to what you want, what the underlying beliefs are that block and maybe sabotage you. Not in a, you're falling short, you should just believe harder kind of way. No, it can give you incredibly valuable information of why it's so hard to achieve that thing you want. Because let's face it, your brain isn't a clean slate. It comes with tons of memories and programming. And these show up when you start to visualize. Right? And you aren't an isolated being. You're part of structures, social structures, family structures, systems, all the things. And this has an impact on you. So this is a second reason, and at least as important, why I encourage you to give visualization a try. It is an amazing diagnostic tool. And you should actually use it as such to test your goals and dreams and figure out if your nervous system is even ready for them. Okay, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's say you want to visualize yourself having a beautiful, attractive body, maybe even in a bikini on a beach, but you just can't see it. Then there is something here that needs your kind and compassionate attention. It could be that you're trying to visualize something you've seen in a magazine or on Instagram. That isn't even a possibility for your body type. In which case, by the way, I would say that your failure to visualize is actually a very healthy response. Maybe you're trying to visualize something that you have been programmed to think is impossible for you because a family member told you your body was unattractive, for example, and your young brain accepted that and has held it as truth ever since. Or maybe you've learned to associate being attractive with not being safe. So whenever you try to visualize yourself as attractive, your nervous system immediately shuts you down. Or it could be that you've been told and been raised to never think great things about yourself. And you kind of self-censure your visualization before you even get started. Or maybe you've never seen people with the specific body type you have presented as attractive, right? And your brain can't even go there. I have to say, whatever the reason is that you're not able to visualize your goal or desire properly, as in it becomes very vivid, you can inhabit it, really be there, you know, look around you, feel all the things, hear all the sounds, and so on and so forth. The reason you're not able to do it is usually a good one, a solid one. And you should honor it instead of brushing it under the carpet or forcing yourself to just try harder, right? And I would add that if you've been trying to achieve something and it's not working, the first step in troubleshooting it is, can you visualize it properly? And if not, why do you think that is? Here's another example. Let's say you want to build a multi-million dollar business. But whenever you try to visualize yourself running it, you get a blank. Again, this means you have some figuring out to do. Do you maybe have underlying beliefs of what it means to run a multi-million dollar business? Like, it will be exhausting or boring or dreadful, or I'll have to get serious, or I'll never be able to see my family again, etc., etc. Then you probably will have a hard time visualizing it, or at least visualizing yourself doing it. Or maybe, just maybe, you have some cultural programming about what a million-dollar CEO looks like, and it is not the young, black, neurodivergent woman you see when you look in the mirror. Or maybe in the past, you have been shamed for your ambition by your parents or other family members, or maybe even in school, and you can't even allow yourself to desire it because it doesn't feel safe. We're all part of structures and systems, large and small, that try to tell us how and who we should be. Sometimes with the best intentions and sometimes not so much, right? Sometimes out of jealousy or out of insecurity or whatever it is. And when you add to that our lived experiences, our unquestioned thoughts and beliefs, then you get a complex system that, when left unchecked, can easily interfere with your dreams and desires. And visualization is an incredibly efficient way of unearthing those unconscious, invisible blocks, finding all the gaps and the obstacles between you and your dreams, so that you can first then heal those parts of yourself that need healing, instead of just keep coming at it and then beating yourself up for not achieving your goal, whilst reinforcing and re-triggering all the trauma. No, you don't want to do that. Let's go back to my book writing as an example. I actually have a hard time visualizing myself presenting my book, right? I can visualize the cover. I can visualize myself sitting down to write it. That's all fine and dandy. But to visualize myself presenting it, like doing this book tour and, you know, talking to people about it. And I was socialized to not stand out, to not draw attention to myself, and God forbid, to not think I am special in any way or have something valuable to say. So when I visualize myself presenting my new book, even if only to 20 people, being the center of attention and producing something that I created, right? Not just teaching something, but saying, this is something I made, right? Here it is, offering it up. Then my nervous system is like, this is to be avoided at all cost. So that makes it hard and kind of unpleasant to even try and visualize it. Now, when that happens, what is a missing piece? How do you fix it? What do you do when your visualization doesn't feel accessible or inhabitable, or even the emotions it creates or triggers don't feel good? Then what do? I recommend that, first of all, you answer the following questions. One, is this something you want deep down inside? Or is it maybe something you have been conditioned to want? For example, have you been socialized to be financially successful, or to be pretty in a conventional way, or to stick to one job, or to climb to the top of the academic or corporate ladder? Or the opposite, have you been conditioned to be wild and unpredictably unique? Then if you want something different, then your visualization may not work, because your heart simply isn't in it. You're visualizing someone else's dream for you. Question number two is, are you trying to visualize something that you've literally never seen before? Because there were no examples of it when and where you grew up. And maybe there are no examples of this role, this thing, this situation in the world as yet. Or is there an underlying, maybe even subconscious conflict? Do you, for example, fear that your partner will no longer love you when you get rich, or that you will no longer love your partner? Do you think your friends will no longer like you when you become a successful author, or when you decide to give up your stellar career to start farming kale? Do you disapprove of your own desire to retire at 30? There could be lots of subconscious conflicts that make you want to avoid the whole thing. And question number four, Does your goal or vision somehow trigger your nervous system? Does it in any way create feelings of unsafety? If you answer yes to any of these, you have got some work to do before you go back to your regular scheduled visualization practice. Let's first look at the internalized shoulds. If your visualization is built on other people's shoulds, your first job is to start dismantling those. And this may not be done in a day, and you may want some help with it, but it is so worth doing because you want a life that you want, not someone else's, right? And again, I recommend hiring a coach to do this work with, but here are some prompts to help you find your way back to your own dreams and desires. If you were transplanted to a different planet with friendly aliens and could do anything you wanted, what would you do? If you believe that your friends, parents, loved ones' only desire for you was to see you happy and thriving, what would you do? If the people who have an agenda for your life lost part of their memory, or more specifically, lost that part of their memory, what would you do? Right? They just simply can remember that they wanted you to get married or whatever it is they want. What would you do? That can help you open up to what you want. Okay, then the second question, you simply can't see it. Well, you can't be what you can't see. This powerful quote by social justice advocate and founder of the Children's Defense Fund, Marion Wright Edelman, explains exactly why diversity is so important, why representation is so massively important. If you can't even picture yourself in a certain role, environment, space, then how can you go after it in a constructive manner? Right? It's very hard because your brain is going to tell you, this is not possible. We do not have a picture of this, right? You draw a blank. Okay. But what if you go where no queer woman has ever gone before? If you want to go somewhere that nowhere, no one has gone before, if you want to do something that nobody's done before, then you have to do the work of bridging that gap also visually, right? And this is very interesting. Some of you know I've done a lot of work in the past around stock photography and how horribly biased it was and non-diverse in so many different ways, right? And this shows up again when I do coaching work with people, as in their brain is so, like, the pictures they have in their brain consist of stock photography. And they want something that is not available in those files, right? In those pictures. So they have to create the picture. They have to do the work of bridging the gap visually. I'll give you an example, right? And this is well documented. When I say doctor, you see a man, right? Or most of you will. And when I say CEO, you most likely see a white guy in a suit looking fit, very serious. Now, if you are not a fit white guy in a suit looking serious, but do want to visualize yourself being a CEO, you have to start adjusting this vision, this stock photo, basically step by step, until you have created something that works for you. Maybe you never wear suits. Okay, change that in the picture and make him wear something you would wear. Maybe you're a woman. Change that. Maybe you're not white. Change that. Maybe you always have dimples and a smile on your face, or at least most of the time, because you have so much fun. Change that, right? Change the expression. Change the setting. Maybe you as a CEO, you aren't in those generic offices with lots of like green tinted glass, whiteboards, et cetera, et cetera. Change that. Maybe you intend to run a 100-person team from your alpaca farm. Change that, right? Step by step, change your vision. It's like, you know, replacing the wood on the boat. This is a philosophical joke. Philosophers will get it. Change it step by step until you're able to see you in this role in the way you want it, and you can really inhabit it and believe it and desire it. And if nobody has done this before, or at least not that you're aware of, you have to really build the vision. This is the first thing you're going to create before you create the actual thing. This is where you already get to be a trailblazer. So fun. Then question number three, if there is an underlying conflict, if you have a hunch that your vision will have secondary effects that may not be positive, then the first step is to get them all out into the open. Maybe it's a fear of ending up alone because you change and no one likes the new you. Or maybe it's the fear of becoming a complete asshole once you get super rich. And you'd be surprised how many people have this fear. Seriously. Maybe you fear getting very lazy if your life becomes too easy and comfortable. Right? Maybe you fear all of these things. So write down the goal you have trouble properly visualizing. And then underneath, I want you to write, I am afraid or hesitant to realize this because ... And write down all the things that come up for at least 15 minutes. Just keep writing anything that your brain offers. And then either alone or with the help of a coach. Coaches are super helpful. Have I told you that before? You want to challenge all those thoughts. Are they really true? Can you 100% know that this is what will happen? And if you think you can, would you prefer not going after your goal to prevent this happening? This is a great question to ask. Then the last part, what if your nervous system is triggered by some aspect of your goal? What if it does not feel safe for you to achieve that goal? Well, then you really are almost guaranteed to sabotage yourself. So instead of doing the one step forward, two steps back, and so I wonder why this goal is so hard, that kind of dance that sadly so many people are doing, stop and invest the time that you have in creating the safety you need to go after your goal. Let's go back to my book presentation example and how the idea of being visible feels unsafe to me. Now, I definitely have deeper work to do here, which I can do with a coach or therapist. And the same probably goes for your triggers too. Maybe you're already doing that work. But there are also things you can do on your own. For example, you can morph and adjust your visualization until it does feel safe, and then slightly start tweaking it, as we did earlier, right? Create a kind of bridge visualization. If a book presentation for me in front of 20 people doesn't feel safe, what if it's 5? How does that feel? What if I add my best friends to the picture and have them sort of sit behind me? How does that feel? What if it is not maybe in a lecture hall, but what if it's outside on the beach? How does that feel? Right now, the upside of this is that I'm also getting more ideas to make this even more fun. And my nervous system is reacting with, yes, or no, right? I know, I feel it in my body, whether it feels better or it doesn't. You have that kind of instant feedback loop. So once you've felt into that and morphed it and established that this is something that feels good and amazing, if also a little anxiety inducing, then you can start expanding it. You know, in my case, maybe make it bigger, maybe add more seats. Same for media exposure. If the idea of 100 shares of your story terrifies you, start with 10 and then slowly make it bigger to whatever number you want. And every time you register your nervous system being triggered, your body saying, no, there's this inside you, it's like, no, please, no, don't make me do this. And stop and ask, what do I need to address here to feel safe? Maybe you want to hire someone to manage your social media accounts because you don't even want to read the nasty comments. Maybe you simply never want to speak in front of groups that are bigger than 50 people for now anyway. And maybe you never get to have more money than you can handle. You can just decide that. And that is exactly it. You have to remind yourself that you have agency. You get to decide. You also get to set boundaries. Okay. So to recap, when you are trying to do the visualization work, right, to visualize your goal, and you can't do it in a way that's really vivid, you can't really step into it, this is incredibly valuable info on how For example, internalized ableism, oppression, or social cultural conditioning or trauma triggers may be blocking you. And it's not a problem. You just address what needs to be addressed, uncover subconscious blocks, start bridging that visual gap, and create safety for your nervous system. Does that sound like a lot of work? Yeah, it kind of does. It's definitely work. But it is work that you want to be doing. In fact, it's work that you want to prioritize. Because this is exactly what is between you and your dreams, right? If you've been trying to achieve things and you're like, why is this not working? Why do I keep sabotaging myself? This is why. So this week, try and visualize, maybe a little bolder, a little bigger, and notice what you come up against. Use the tools, the four tools, right? Answer the four questions, use the tools, unblock yourself and see what happens. Have a wonderful week. Bye. Hey, smart human. You're probably listening to this podcast because you want to learn how to manage that smart mind of yours. And the first step is actually getting your bearings, doing a little brain audit. And I have the perfect tool for that, the Mapping Your Unique Brain Workbook. And you can actually download it for free at coachkramer.org/brainmap. So that's coachkramer.org/brainmap. Go check it out and play with it. And take your first step to managing your smart mind.